Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it now, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you said it, girl.
Jimmy Jam.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Say woo. Break it up.
We share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
Well, good evening out there. It is Teddy Tuesday. We'll have Miss Stephanie Haynes coming on with us. She's pairing out the series for this month on trauma. And you know, May is Mental Health Month. That is what we're taking care of here. And I just want to express to you, you know, things are crazy. We're all going through a lot. Mercury is in retrograde. There's a lot of stuff happening here. But if you need to talk with someone, do not hold in what you're feeling. Pick up the phone. Scream out. Yell out for help. Tell somebody something. Do not walk around taking yourself and placing yourself in an area that you will carry trauma or have traumatic experiences running through your body. And Stephanie Haynes is going to come on and show us how to do that. You know, we all go through hardships out here. But iron, when heated and pounded, becomes a fine sword. Likewise, our true strength and potential cannot be forged without hardships. You know, life is like a wave going up and down. You know, just put on your goggles and your fins and just ride it, okay? Keep in mind, you're not out here by yourself. Each one teaches one, and we're all here to help each other. So let's just play a little bit of this until Miss Haynes comes on with us, and welcome in to Tell It Tuesday with Waking Up with Linda McChan.
You won't make it.
That's right. You won't make it if you don't ever try. And we have Ms. Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Wound, here with us to put you in the direction of how you can keep stretching those arms up there as high as they can go. Stephanie Haynes, welcome in with us, and how are you this evening?
Good evening, Ms. Linda. I'm doing great. How's everyone?
We are wonderful. And before we get started, I have two things to say. The number one thing is thank you for taking out time of your busy schedule, because you've got it going on out there. And we want to congratulate you, because I know that there is a great event coming up that you are have been appointed, and your position with the, is it the National Council of Negro Women, is the vice the president of the events. And there is an event coming up, if I'm right with the date, on May 21st, and we do want you to share that purple hat tea with us to let us know what we need to do before we get into where we need to get into. And again, congratulations to you.
Yes, yes, we have our Purple Hat Affair, which I am part of the Viewpoint Session of the NCNW, and that's the National Council of Negro Women. And the event will be taking place at the Renaissance Hotel by the LAS. And we are asking, you know, each of the community members to come out and support this fundraiser. And what it is, it's a fundraiser that helps our SOS program, which is Saving Our Sister program, provide a holistic curriculum to our girls and women in order to assist them with the issues they face on a daily basis. The young women learn about domestic violence prevention, financial literacy, job training, STDs, and HIV and AIDS awareness, and much more.
Wow.
And, yes. So it's going to be great. Then we have a great guest speaker, Wendy Gladney. She's the editor at the Sentinel newspaper here in Los Angeles. And it's going to be great. So I just want to come out. The tickets are $80. You can go online to our website to purchase the tickets on sponsorship or even an ad. Visit our website at www.ncnwviewpointla.com. That's www.ncnwviewpointla.com.
Wow. Right. I saw that. Thank you so much. And it's a Purple Hat event. I saw the flyer, which is beautiful and colorful, and I said that is all Stephanie all the way, because she's going to always be striking and relaxing, and it's going to always be some colors there. Well, we appreciate you. I wanted you to state that with us before we got started. And last night we had some of the cast of the play that's happening at the Roby Theater, A Heated Discussion, and they were on, and they were very, very empowering and enlightening. So if you didn't get a chance to listen in, you know, all of the shows archived, and all one has to do is just Google Waking Up with Linda McShann, Blog Talk, and you will see the shows listed. Click on and take note and get educated, get empowered. Our theme was education, empowerment, and elevation, and that is what they gave us last night. And so tonight, I know we're still in our trauma series, and I'm just going to be quiet over here and let you take us on through. And again, thank you, Stephanie. I know it's busy, crazy out there. We appreciate you so much.
Yes. All right. So, ladies, so we talked about the major health benefits of mindfulness. We talked about the health benefit and how it works. So that's what we talked about on last week, and tonight we're going to finish up with for the behavioral challenges that with some of the mental health that we deal with day and day or every day, or past trauma that we have held on from childhood to now, right? So to reduce stress and anxiety, right? And how that works is when you meditate, it's lowered the stress. Now, for the behavior challenge. So what happens when you reduce the stress and anxiety, it lowers the stress hormone, which is a cortisol level, and calms the amygdala by shrinking its size. Now, it prevents them from major depression relapse. It enables the recognition of the signs of the depression so that an early intervention can be enabled to prevent the returns of depression. Now, to build empathy and compassion, you have to strengthen the anterior cingulate, the insula, and other regions involved in the empathy and compassion, which are the neutral circuit that serves as the pathway for knowing what we and others are feeling. That it helps treat the eating disorder, may allow more attunement with the body, making eating more physiological than psychological. Now, for our psychological habits, enhance the cardiovascular function, which improves the blood pressure and the cholesterol level, and cultivate better communication between the brain and the heart. Now, it helps prevent the relapse of addiction. Now, it increases self-awareness and decreases the release of the dopamine. Now, the neurotransmitter of the reward circuitry that is involved in addiction will support diminished craving and result in less vulnerability to addiction. Now, the benefits in terms have profound positive effects on our executive function, which is emotional and cognitive resiliency. Now, with the growth of more integrated brain circuits, its focus of attention and cognitive efficiency and enhance the memory. Now, these benefits help explain why so many corporate leaders are interested in rolling out mindfulness offerings for their employees, the companies such as the Ford Motor Company, Google, General Mills, Target, Starbucks. Now, those are some of the businesses, right, where they incorporate mindfulness. Now, similar programs such as Goldie Hawn, Mind Up, are bringing mindfulness to millions of children around the world, including in the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Siberia, Mexico, Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand. In addition, we have a very wide variety of medication apps to choose from. Now, you guys can go anywhere on the internet if you don't go to a yoga class, or you just sit at your own home, you know, and just carve out, I would say, 20 minutes out of your day to just sit and be still and think about nothing. And you'd be amazed how calm and restful you feel when you do that. Now, as the interest in mindfulness grow and continue to be rolled out in school districts across the United States, programs to meet a need to be sensitive to the population that they are serving, including the racial and the ethnic majority group. Now, we just got out of COVID in the last, and we're still in it, I would say, but got out of the shut-in for the last couple of years. And a lot of our youth has struggled with schooling. And not only the youth, the parents. Because some of the parents had to stay home and work, homeschool their children, along trying to get their children virtually and to be able to manage all of that. And some of them had the capacity to do that, and some of them didn't have the capacity. So some of those children actually didn't do anything, didn't go to school. So the school district had lost a lot of the children, and a lot of them had dealt with depression during that time. Because when you're not, there are different types of being social, and when kids are not emotionally social with the touching, engaging, it's become very hard for them. And especially if they're in a household where the parents is always fussing and fighting, that's bring a lot of wear and tear on the, those small little children's minds and bodies and souls. Because some of the kids leave home to go to school to get away from the dysfunction that is happening in the home. And then when you got two parents in the home that is not getting along together, and then that sets another tone where now you have the parents at each other. The children hear and see and feel all of that. Then you have a whole household is experiencing a traumatic experience because of the fact that they're shut in. And imagine for the last 2 years, those families had to deal with that. So now things are open up, and all that pain and trauma that they experienced, depression within those last 2 years, now has to be dealt with. Because now they're going out into the community, into the workplace, back into the schools, because we have not got healed from all of that stress and trauma that we had to deal with. Not to exclude the death of the loved ones those individuals had to experience, especially not being able to be with those loved ones that died because of the fact that they couldn't go to the hospital or even have a funeral for those individuals. So that sets in another part of depression. Now, those individuals need grief therapy. So with me saying all of that, 2022 has to become the year of healing. Not on a mental plane, but on a spiritual plane, where we have to get together and really bring peace to the land which we live on. All right, so a researcher, scientist, Sarah King, studied the experiences of the urban youth of color with yoga and meditation in the school-based intervention and their impact on stress well-being and the interpersonal relationship. Now, she explained that the interventionists in schools need to be able to relate effectively with students from diverse populations. Now, this is very important, not only for mindfulness programs in school, but all across our meditation communities, as I stated earlier. Now, I'm going to talk about establishing a sustainable mindful awareness practice plan, which is the MAP. Now, it can be challenging to sustain a mindfulness practice over time. Gaps of days, weeks, months, or even years are not uncommon. It is also not uncommon to try one type of meditation and then give up for any number of reasons, including that you feel it isn't working or you no longer need it now that things are getting better in your life. Now, I'm going to go back to the part where it says you might feel that it isn't working. Now, for some of us, it's hard to sit with self. We're so busy being busy that it's hard to just sit and just to feel and just to know and to listen to spirit. Because when we sit and listen to our inner voice, we are able to be more present, be more in the moment, to be able to really engage with the individual that we are engaging with, the open heart, mind, soul, to really hear and listen to that individual that we are talking or engaging with. Right? Now, looking after our minds can be like looking after our bodies. Now, we know what we have to do, but doing it is another matter. We know it's good for us. We know why, and it is still hard. Now, a common roadblock to establishing a regular meditation practice is concern over the physical space for meditating. Now, London-based health and well-being consultant, you know, talked about one thing she emphasized to the company's nearly 100,000 employees worldwide is the importance of getting past barrier. Now, she encouraged meditation in the place where the stress is occurring. There's no need to split meditation from stress. Many of us may think that we need to retreat to our gardens or a quiet spot to meditate, but we don't always have that option. You know, for those who work in an office, you can close your door and just sit still. Or put on some nice meditative music and just sit and listen. You know, some of us get 15, 30 minutes break. And that's an opportunity at that time to regroup when things are getting chaotic. Right? Things become too stressful for you. You know, that's the opportunity to do a time out. You know, and if you have a diffuser, you know, put some peppermint in there. And that's help lift up the mind. You know, if you feel kind of stressed. You know, another most important thing is to really take time out for self. We don't have to be the person that always say yes to everything. We do not have to be the person stay busy all the time. And I had to learn that from having two strokes. because we can't be the savior all, and we can't be the fixer all. Sometimes we have to allow the individuals to go through their own human revolution. And when we allow the other individual to go through their own human revolution, that's when the growth becomes. Because that individual has to really go within themselves to grasp the tools that they need to make the necessary change in their life, to move to the next level in their life. And if they don't have the tools, to give them the opportunity to be able to learn some tools to put in their toolbox, to be able to learn how to move forward. And now they learn some coping skills to be able to cope with the traumatic experience at that time. And last week I talked about the difference between trauma and having a traumatic event. Now, trauma is some of the things that it's going to be that latent trauma that either we're born with it, you know, during childbirth with mom, because you now you get their karma along with your karma. All right. And then that deep stuff that happens in your childhood. Now, a traumatic situation would be a car accident, right, where you can heal from that. And it's how you process that and go through that that you can come out on the other side. But trauma is things that you hold on to, and most of us don't want to face those traumas. I know Carlina Mays, she had written a book, Why People Don't Heal. People don't heal is because they use their situation, their trauma, as their story to keep them from being healed. So we have to be the one that take full responsibility of what's going on with our life. So I'm going to give you a little scenario. This is Kathy. Now, Kathy is in her 40s and was wearing a bright green shirt imprint with trees on the day we met. Clearly a nature lover. With her enthusiasm, her firm handshake, and confident presence, the clipboard in her hand, it was evident from the moment I met her that she can do anything she set out to do. She has worked 12-hour days for 15 years to build up her landscape business. Comes to mindfulness, she says, I feel like a failure. I am a master time waster. I have no discipline when it comes to life balance. I am the impotent of non-mindfulness. Now, by the end of our interview, she was so intrigued by the prospect of having a meditation practice that she asked if we could have a check-in every 2 weeks. And meanwhile, she would try a meditation app called Headspace. Mm-hmm. Now, I tested Kathy the morning of her scheduled check-in day to get a time and heard nothing. And then a text came about a day later. How about now? She said. I said, that could work. And jokingly added that it struck me as ironic that someone who resists mindfulness is so in the moment. She said, I don't resent it more negligently, which of course can be a trap for many of us. Now, at our check-in, Kathy said that when she sat down to meditate, she found herself making lists and thought to herself, I'm pretty sure that making lists isn't what meditation is. Now, as we talk more, she realized that the reason she wasn't prioritizing a practice is that she needs to get a certain number of her life tasks out of the way first, from the shoe repair to scheduling the plumber. Now, this is a prime example of a person that is always busy. Just to think that you're meditating and you're writing down your to-do list. Now, at the end of the check-in, I request that for the next 2 weeks, Kathy meditate for 1 minute each day. Only 1 minute. She said that she actually could commit to meditating for 10 minutes per day. And as things progress, I thought, yay. Now, within 4 days of making her commitment, text me back, she had already watched a few meditation videos. Very encouraging, I said. Now, within 1 month of our first meeting, Kathy texts that she had been listening to several more meditations led by different teachers. I'm happy to report that now, 10 months after our first meeting, I still receive regular updates from Kathy, all encouraging as she's continued her daily meditation practice. So how do you get your own plan into place? Ideally, before you desperately need it, being mindful in a way of life that can enhance every moment of our lives is not something to be held in reserve to come to our rescue when we are in a crisis, although certainly it will be very helpful during difficult times. Now, here's everything you need in one table to create your own sustainable map. So this is the time I want everybody get a pen and a paper, if you can, computer or tablet, whatever it is, or even your phone. You can take notes on your phone. All right? So this is creating a sustainable mindful awareness practice plan, which is called MAP, M-A-P-P. Okay. So the first, you have two columns. So the first column, you're going to put in the who, the why, the when, the where, what, how, and how long. Okay, so you got the who, the why, the when, where, the what, the how, and how long. All right, so the who. The who is you. You're going to show up. Your serious intention, and you're going to commit. So that's the who. The why, know your motivation, what has meaning for you. Know your motivation and what has meaning for you. The wind, day or night. So that's your wind. Discover the optimum practice time, the day or the night. And the where. Create your space. Almost any place will work. The what. Determine your way in. Just do it. Determine your way in. Just do it. That's the what. Now the how, you're going to staple it, connect it to something you are already doing regularly, and taking small steps. And then the how long, you're going to do it for 12 to 15 minutes daily. That's how you start your practice. Now, how can I be so sure that this plan will work for you? Because you are the designer of it, of its every feature. And so for every student in, you know, my workshop has left with a plan. You have a standing invitation to give it a try. So whenever you are ready, just commit. You know, they say it takes 21 days to change a habit. So whenever you begin, and if you fall off, just start again. I know the most important thing is, you know, we wake up, we are the writer, the director, and the author of our own lives. It's how we just show up. And we write a script every day. And some of our life stories can make one of the most, I would say, the most intriguing movie. Or it can be a very scary movie. Or a very traumatizing movie. But we are the author, the writer, and the director of our own. This is how we show up to the world. And if we can get out of the blaming, complaining stages of our life and let go of some of the guilt, the resentment, the shame, the anger, we'll become more healthy, more resilient, more loving, have more compassion and understanding if we do that. But like I said earlier, most of us like to hold on to our trauma, our drama. So, tension.
Mm-hmm.
And to have people to feel sorry for us. Now, believe it or not, we choose our circumstances.
Mm.
And someone might say, I didn't choose that. Yes, you did. You choose it because somewhere in your past lifetime, you said you're going to come back in this lifetime to show actual proof with your life, to be able to tell someone that, hey, I understand you. I have empathy and compassion for you because I've been there. And this is how you can overcome this. And you share your story.
Whoa.
Okay, you share your story.
That's true. That's, you're absolutely correct. Absolutely. I'm in agreement with that.
know, because, like I said, we wake up every morning, you know, for some that wakes up with a purpose, then there are some that does not wake up with a purpose, right? But for those who wake up with a purpose, and you set your tone in the morning with your prayers and meditation, and whatever you do to set your tone for that morning, and to set your day off to be able to live out your purpose, and then at the end of the day, you come back and give thanks. Because you was able to live out what you planned for today.
Yes. Yes.
Now, for those who have that wakes up and do they to you know to do list, and as you go through the day and cross out what you completed for that day. And whatever you didn't complete that day, you just add it to the next day to do this. Then they give you a sense of accomplishment because the things that you set out to do for that day is done. But if you get caught up in your trauma and your drama, all that stuff on that list do not get taken care of. Because you allow other circumstances to get in the way for you to take care of what you set out to do on your to-do list. And that's going back to be mindful, being in the present. Because when you're mindful and in the present, that you are in control of your day. You do not allow the outside influences to get you off track on what you set out to do. But have you ever been at work and this is your plan for today? You set out on the calendar, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But you can always have that other individual to come in, whether it's your supervisor, coworker, whomever, to come in, turn your day around with their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then if that continues to happen with that situation, then you got to go back and say, okay, what is I am not doing that I am allowing those individuals to come into my environment, my space, to keep me from doing my workload? Or my task, or whatever I had set forth for me to do that day. All right. So when you're not in the present, those kind of things happen. And when it happens too often, that means that you are out of sync. You're not in rhythm. You're not in control. So that's something to think about. How I'm doing on time, Miss Linda?
You're doing okay because I'm extending it out here. I didn't want to rush you because, you know, I know how we can go. And what I do is like when I see it's real good, so you go in and take up your time. But I like the idea, Stephanie, of you talking about, you know, how you make the plan that day. And when something comes in and upsets it, it's also inner trauma to you because you mapped out things that you want to do. Now, I'm a planner. So I set that list and I check off that list. And if something comes in to interfere, it kind of like puts me in a not too good of mood, right? But actually, is it me that did it or did them? Now, emergencies, it depends on what your responsibilities are. You know, emergencies come up. But I have learned how to not let others' emergencies dictate my time, if you understand what I'm saying, right? Because like yourself, we're always there for everyone. So if I drop everything that I do each time you need something, then my stuff never gets done, okay? So what is that doing to me on the inside? That's putting that as stress on me. So I'm a planner daily. And nowadays, and I'm pretty sure I'm not out here by myself. You know, we have to travel around. You have errands and things to run. The gasoline prices are high. You don't want to be spinning back and forth and double across in your tail. You want to set up your things so you can get it all in one circle. You know, that's what mindful and being in the present is to me, because I'm out here, if I have to rip and run, it has to go A, B, C, D, E. Now, if emergencies get in there and stuff happens, you know, you don't really worry about it because you know, like you say, what you didn't take care of today, put it down on the list for tomorrow, unless there's a deadline or something there. It is so true, meaning the mindfulness and the presence, and I've highlighted some stuff here. We were speaking of, you know, the pain, the trauma, and the depression that our young adults are going through, and how the larger, major companies are bringing in that mindfulness because it's very important. And I put a 2 check marks by take time out for you. And it does make a difference. I'll share a story. There is a art exhibit, and the art exhibit is with diverse cultures, Korean art and African art. And it's at the, I think it's the Korean Community Center. And I said, you know, I'm in the area. I said, I'm going to go down. I found out, you know, I'd never been there. I pulled in a big, beautiful parking lot. I walk in the office side. It was so common. I wanted to sit down and read a book. And the building that the art was being held in and the museum was at the building next door. And I walked in. It was so comfortable. But the beauty of it was I might have stayed in there maybe 30 minutes, you know, just viewing the art and getting the feel. And of course, you know, our brother Yerné Caban has a sculpture piece in there. So I didn't go to the opening because that was too many people, but I was in there all by myself. And it was so peaceful, so relaxing that I wanted to take a pallet and lay down in the corner and take a nap for 30 minutes. But it was like something that I just switched up and said, no, let me go over here. And you know why? Because my body was saying, you need to take some me time, okay? You're here. You're in the area. Go do it. And it's I think of it. I've been thinking about it all day today. I said, I'm going back over there. And I've met the curators and the director. I said, I'll be popping in here pretty often, okay, just to pop by because it was an experience. It was a me time moment. And it was an educational moment. It was something to do. So that's very, very important. You say take that 20 minutes out to be still. You must be still. What is that? And Tyler Perry used to talk about it, but he was talking about it in a different way in that movie, Madea, when he said, peace, be still. You know, but he was talking about his still peace, but it's still that still piece got done what he needed to have it do. So that was the take that I took on that. But you're absolutely correct. We have to recognize the behavior challenges. And when you mentioned the word human revolution, and you explained it, but it's very important. When I speak of human revolution, I speak of saying it's an inside job, okay? Because it works from in to out. And once that revolution is done, it brings about the mental, spiritual, and it brings peace to yourself, which is going to bring peace to the land. And purpose, I'm jotting, you know, I'm highlighting over here, just trying to be still and be quiet. You know, purpose is, you know, what is purpose? It has many, many, but it's something, you have to have something to love, something to do, and something to look forward to. So just fits right into what you were saying. You know, get out here, make that start. Set that chart up, the who, the why, the when, the where, the what, the how, okay? And take care of that. MAPP. And what does MAPP stand for again, Stephanie, if I may ask?
The Mindful Awareness, a Practice, and Plan.
Okay, Mindful Awareness, a Practice, and Plan. Okay. That, yeah, you see I'm taking good notes over here. And we have some time to play. I just had to bring it up while I was still on my mind because, you know, I don't like to rush you. And if I hear that I need to stretch you, we stretch it. So I'm going to be quiet over here and let you take us on to the next segment. But that's
okay.
My take on it.
All right. So thank you. So now we're going to go in depth on the who, the why, the when, the where, and the what.
Okay.
So the first question is the who. It all starts with you, your intention, and your ability to commit now or whenever the time comes. All right? So now, this can be especially effective for those of us who may find ourselves facing kinds of pushback in the morning, such as no time to work out today, it's raining, or I'm too busy. Now, if that one decision has been set, we're almost likely to honor our intention. Now, Ruben has also scheduled with a weekly running partner, her outsider motivator. Now, for those of us who do best when we must be accountable to someone, the outside motivator can make the difference between following through or failing to do so. So, you know, having a buddy or accountability partner, right?
Yes.
All right, so the second question is the why. What is your reason for taking on a MAP at this time? Knowing your own motivation, which are the only one that matters here, will allow you to fully commit. This will include exploring what has meaning for you right now in your life. We'll be talking more about that in the part of on purpose. Now, once you have enhanced the commitment, you can not only begin more easily, but sustain your practice. Third question is when. There are three aspects of when. First, if you are new to mindfulness and want to begin a practice, it will help to select a time to begin that will fit into not only your schedule, but your life right now. Now, in this way, you will be giving yourself the best chance of starting and sustaining a practice. Now, as I mentioned, many of us think most seriously about starting or resuming a practice when we really need it, such as when we receive an alarming medical diagnosis or during our business season at work. Consider starting at a time when you are not in crisis mode, at a time when you have the now, setting your intention is the starting point, and it's important to be all in so you can truly commit. Now, don't be that person. You know, it's a prime example that a person don't start a praying until you're laughing, but this is so serious. When a crisis comes,
when they back get against the wall, then they want to pray. All right, that's why I'm laughing.
You know, and then also even with your body, when for your health, don't begin starting eating healthy, because now your body's at a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a daily practice for each and every individual. Now, we cannot control the outside environment. You know, for those who suffer with asthma, like myself, and chronic bronchitis, like myself, I can't control what's out there in the air. But what I can control is how I take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Me out of the hospital to keep me from having an attack. I have to watch the foods that I eat, the things that are in my environment, the smells, the sprays, you know, all of that kind of stuff in the environment. I have to control that. But what's out in the outside, I can't control that. But I can put a mask on, cause asthma to flare up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to really listen to your body. And when your body's in pain, your body is as a signal that something is wrong. And most of us ignore those signs and say, oh, it'll go away. It's just a little headache. No, your body's telling, hey, I'm in pain. And if you're back in head, oh, you might just need some more water. You know, because the body is 80% water. And how many of us really drink a gallon of water a day? Not too many. Right? So it's very important that we really take care of ourselves. Now, the third question is the when. Now, there are three aspects of when. The first one is, if you are new to mindfulness and want to begin a practice, it would help to select a time to begin that will fit into not only your schedule, but your life right now. And this way, you will be giving yourself the best chance of starting and sustaining a practice. Now, as I mentioned, many of us think most seriously about starting and resuming a practice when we really need it, such as when we receive an alarming medical diagnosis or during our business season at work. Now, consider starting at a time when you are not in crisis mode. Now, at a time when you have the, again, because this is very important. Now, setting your intention is the starting point, and it is important to be all in so that you truly commit. Now, the second one is, we all have an ultimate time, whether it's during the day or night, when we would prefer to practice. Although that may change over time, at least initially, it can help to have the same time slot each day to the greatest intent possible. Now, for me, the best time is the first thing in the morning, when I feel refreshed and before anything can get in the way. Now, the third one, there may be times in your day that you could repurpose to become your practice time. For example, you can do a mindfulness practice during your daily commute, on the train, or while walking your dog. Then there's the question of where. The place can be varies from day to day. Now, although most practitioners find that having a designated space, such as a quiet area in your home, is helpful in being consistent. However, it is also helpful to be open to other places so that you can practice where and when you may most need it during a given day. You know, I have an altar set up in my home for my quiet time to do my prayers, my meditation, and because for those who say devotion, wherever it is where you center yourself for that moment, for that morning and that evening, to set that tone for the day, and then for that evening to give thanks for, you know, for that day. And then we have the where. And the where could be a place that can vary from day to day. And during that time, finding that place, you know, Blackburn practice, and what she calls it, is the micro meditation.
Okay.
Now the micro meditation, at times, that otherwise would leave her bored or impatient, such as waiting for a plane to take off or doing a shuttle ride en route to a meeting. After I do my morning devotion, when I, you know, before I leave home, you know, I pray all the way till I get to work. And my prayer is a chanting. I chant all the way from my, once I leave home until I get to work. And when I'm chanting for a successful day, making sure I have no accident on the way to work. And then when I get to work, that I am focused on what I need to do to help my clients. Create a harmonious environment once and while I'm there at work. Sometimes it doesn't always happen, but lately I have bought this car, I say mindfulness, and then I have the coworkers who ever come into my office, they will have to pull a card. And every time they pull a card, it's something they need to work on. Now I have coworkers come into my office. Oh, I forgot to pull my card today. I need my card today. And what it does is help them to see what they need to work on.
Yeah.
And I love it because sometimes, you know, the message would be do a social media detox, meaning that don't get on any kind of social media that day, right? Or it can say, write down that you love about another person, right? Or it would say, cook a meal for, cook a meal that you love for someone else. You know? Or it would say, think before you speak. So those are the mindful things that sometimes we take for granted and don't even think about doing because we are so busy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the last question, mindfulness can meet you where you are. Let's start where you are. You can be in the bathroom, sitting on the toilet, and sit there and meditate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it can be so easy just to sit still and be with yourself. For those who allow themselves to feel. Now, for those who do not allow themselves to feel, it will be very hard for you because your mind will be racing. You may be, you know, wiggling, you know, fidgeting because you're trying to run away. That person who loves to avoid, I call it having avoidant issues. It's hard for them to be still. Those types love to be busy. All right? So with the what, the mindfulness can meet you where you are. Start where you are. You have the opportunity to the right side for your practice. Now, what resonates with you? It could be yoga. It can be mindful walking in the woods or hiking or setting a meditation practice. What works for you one day or one week may not work for the next. Whatever works for you may work for your colleagues, may not work for you. And if you're trying to get a group of people, you know, and I really advise that you start with self first. And that for those who might have codependency, that you think you need somebody with you to start whatever that you desire to do, try to not have that to get in your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try for this week, the rest of this week. For those who are dealing with codependency, to step out of your zone and allow yourself own life without having someone there to cheer you on. Be your own cheerleader.
I love that.
Okay?
I
encourage
that.
You to be patient. Okay? So I encourage you to be patient with yourself as you find what works best for you. So it's important that the app, the podcast, the audio recording or video, whatever you may choose, resonate with you. The teacher, your friend, the favorite may not be the one for you. Now, the recording you listen to for the 3 weeks may not be the one you choose to continue with. The key is to figure out your own way in and adjust or change as needed. Now, knowing that your practice will be involved over time. Now, one other thing to keep in mind is that your mind isn't the same today. Excuse me. Each day is going to change. There are some days you might not even want to get out of bed, but you got to push yourself.
Yes.
Okay. Now, picture your mind as a stream. It's similar day to day, mostly, but it's never exactly the same. Time. Your mind will stop wondering or become empty. Although it won't become empty, it will become clear so that you will, in time, be less likely to be carried away by distraction.
Whoa. And on that note, that statement, you know, picture as a stream, that it will be, it will become clear. That is so true. And I have to touch on this because it's about time for us to wrap it. I know you're wrapping it up. Yeah. And we will still be on trauma next week. Is that correct, Stephanie?
Yes. Yes. May is the month of mental health. So we will be, we will actually complete this. Well, actually, April was mental health month. But we are going to complete this out in May. Yes. We'll be completing it today.
So we're carrying this out. And you made the statement about being clear. And I want to share this. It says, when skies are clear, the ground is illuminated. Work for all people to become happy and the world to become peaceful. Unseen virtues equal visible rewards. So what you're saying is once all that's cleared up, and that flowing stream continues to flow on, then there will be clarity in your mind, body, and spirit. So therefore, your lens are clear to see who you need to reach out and help others. And this who, why, when, where, and what is the chart that we actually need to set up. I'm guilty in some areas, but I like to I kind of like move solo. Because I need all the energy around me as focused and concentrated. And I find for myself, when I team up and do things, I'm a sponge. So I'm pulling yours too, and that's not the name of the game for this 20 minutes I want to do this morning. So whether I have a buddy or not, I've tried the buddy situation. When the buddy can't go, you know, it kind of like changes that energy. So I'm with you, you know, step out of your comfortness and be your own cheerleader and take the patience as you find your own way and make the adjustments as needed. So did I wrap that up and summarize that up in a good form, Stephanie Haynes?
Yes, you did.
Well, Stephanie, we're going to start again. Before we go, I need you to repeat again for that wonderful fundraising event that's going to help SOS with the youth and all the things that are happening, and that day is on May 21st. Could you give us that information once again before we close it out?
Yes. So our Purple Hat Affair fundraiser, High P, would be May 21st at the Renaissance Hotel at the LAX. May 21st, which is next Saturday, right? We're asking the ladies to come and dress in your purple hat. So we have a wonderful speaker, Miss Wendy Gladley. She is our keynote speaker. We have entertainment. We will have tea tasting. It's going to be a wonderful event. They have vendors where you can come and shop. And when I look at May, I look at May as the month for women because it's Mother's Day during that month, right? And that's the opportunity to shower yourself with gifts, time, good teas, good time, good communication, networking with other individuals. And it's also, it's our 60th anniversary for the NCNW, which is the National Council of Negro Women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yes, so that's the opportunity to come out and learn about our organization and to be able to really, you know, support and connect.
Well, I think it's going to be a great event. Yes, and the tickets are $80.
I know it's at the Renaissance Hotel. If they hit the website, I'm always concerned about individuals. Will they be able to give them parking information, or is the parking included, or is that a question
to call? Parking is included. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Parking is
included,
so you don't have to worry about parking. Yeah.
Okay. Ladies, put on those purple hats. Get out there and mix and mingle with the it's the National Congress of Negro Women. This is the 60th anniversary. You'll get an opportunity to just see Miss Stephanie Haynes in action. She is the director president of events, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, relaxing, educational, and uplifting, empowering affair. Because guess what? Stephanie Haynes is heading that up. And like I said, this is years and years and years and years of knowing her. And if you want to get something done, this is the lady that you call on. Stephanie, on that note, we're going to say thank you to you. We're going to cut out here. And if the ladies or the listeners follow this who, what, when, where, and how long it's going to take, because we started off with this format, taking out the me time, listening to your body, understanding that it takes mental and spiritual health to bring peace to the land. And you want to start with yourself, and it's an inside job. Stephanie, we love you. Thank you. Get you some rest. I extended it out because I never like to cut you off. But anything for you, we love you, Stephanie, and have a wonderful evening, okay?
You too, now. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Stephanie. Stephanie Haynes, author of The Healing of the Womb and The Healing of a Man and Woman.
It's been a while, I'm not who I was before. You look surprised, your words don't burn me anymore. Been meaning to tell ya, but I guess it's clear to see. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. Can't be bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Careful with your ego, he's the one that we should blame. Had to grab my heart back, God knows something had to change. Thought that you'd be happy, I found the one thing I need. Why you mad? It's just a brand new kind of me. It took a long, long time to get here. If I speak up when you're wrong, if I walk a little taller, I've been under you too long. If you notice that I'm different, I'm taking personal things. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of me. It ain't bad, I found a brand new kind of free. Oh, it took a long
Not expecting sorry, I'm too busy finding.
never be perfect, but at least now I'm brave. Now my heart is open, I can finally breathe. Don't be mad, it's just a brand new kind of free. That ain't bad, I found a brand new kind of me. Don't be mad, it's a brand new time for me.
Oh, I know y'all can sing too now. Oh, let's go back a little bit. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, bless your heart, y'all. Come on.
Happy feelings in the air. Touching people everywhere. Plenty of love and everything.
Right here.
Listen to the people say.
Deep. Collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.